Welcome back to the second episode of On the Mat. I'm Brandon Almas. Jacob Doherty is my co-host, and today we're here with Wilmington High baseball coach Carl Beatrice.
Thank you for having me.
As
Jimbo would say.
As Jimbo would say. So, first up, we just wanted you to go over your high school career, how you did in high school, what you played and whatnot.
Yeah. When I was in high school, there were obviously a lot more kids at Wilmington High. With that comes a lot more kids playing Wilmington High baseball. So my freshman year, we had a freshman team. I was coached by Patrick Taylor. I think he was a teacher at Wilmington High at the time, but he was mostly a basketball coach. He didn't coach baseball, but he was the man. And we had we have some freshmen on varsity now, the whole JV team is like freshmen, eighth graders and stuff. That was not a thing when I was at Wilmington High. Like, we had a freshman team strictly of freshmen, and we had like 19 kids, all of which that could play at a decent level. And the JV team was all sophomores and juniors, and then basically the high school team, the varsity level team, was all seniors. Now it's a complete mix because we're just kind of going with what we have numbers-wise. Like the JV2 team, they call it now, consists a lot of eighth graders. It was just kind of completely different, which is like only like 5 years ago. So I guess the population kind of comes in waves at Wilmington High. But myself, I played freshman year. On the freshman team, I played 1 year on the JV team my sophomore year. I played mostly third base in high school. On the freshman team, I kind of played wherever because we were just all kind of getting innings. So, like, I'd play in the outfield. I'd play at third. I didn't catch or anything, but I'd pitch there too. And then my junior year, I was able to make the varsity level team with a lot of kids in my grade. My grade was absolutely loaded with baseball talent and any other sport. I mean, we just had a lot of kids that could play really well. We had three kids that go on to play college baseball. And
is that Gillis here?
No, Gillis 2 years above me. But he went to Vanderbilt and got drafted by the Milwaukee Brewers, which is unbelievable. To be able to say I went to high school with a kid that basically made it to the MLB is very cool. And we had, like I said, three kids that play college baseball, myself, Graham Smith, and Dan Gracia. And we could have easily had more, whether it was kids that just decided to go to a different college route. One of those being Chris Greco, coaches at Wilmington High. I think he easily could have played a high level of college baseball, but he was unfortunate luck with some injuries. But he was one of our best pitchers. He could absolutely deal. And then we had some kids maybe just go to bigger colleges to kind of get that college scene, like Tom Moore, Matt Rideout. These kids were absolute studs, like hit 400 in high school. I personally think Matt Rideout was probably one of the most underrated high school baseball players we ever had. He made the all-decade team with us for Wilmington High from 2010 to 2020. And we just had a lot of guys who could compete. I still think – I talk about it with all my buddies to this day that it's unbelievable that we'd never won a playoff game. I think we just kind of had some bad luck and some freak plays. Kind of one of my most interesting games against Burlington my junior year. We went 16-4, and we were the 2 seed in the MIA state tournament, so we had a home game against – Burlington, who made it on the last day, I'm pretty sure. I think they had 10 wins on the last day of the season. They qualified. And they had some great baseball players. I think they were better than a 10-win team. And they beat us, so they obviously lived up to the expectations. But we had a play in the outfield. It was I kind of vaguely remember it now, but it was a fly ball to like deep right center, and Graham made an unbelievable catch. And we made a triple play. There were kids on first and second that did not tag up. I can tell you I remember that. They did not tag up for the umpires. And we doubled them off at second and first, and their coach put up a whole fit about it, saying that they tagged up. The umpires talked about it. I'm convinced that the umpires had no idea what was going on, because if they did, it would have been a triple play, and we would have won that baseball game. And then after that game, Drew Metzdorf hit a absolute nuke that tied the game up, and we went to 13 innings against Burlington in the playoffs, kind of do or die. And I think we just kind of ran out of gas. We lost that game 9-3, but that was not an indication of how that game went. They just had a big inning in the top of the 13th. It was basically dark outside by then because we started that game, I think, at 4 o'clock. And playing 13 innings is not something that goes by pretty fast. But kind of going back to the root of the question, playing at Wilmington High really set me up for success kind of going forward. And I think it's something... it is something that I'll remember for the rest of my life, which is great.
Was there ever any thought, like, I want to go to Shawshene Tech, Austin Prep, Central Catholic, any private school, any vocational, like any school like that? Was there ever any thought of that?
I think so, tech-wise. That young, it's really hard to kind of, like, in a sense, if you're going to the tech, you're obviously going for a trade, which the world needs more of. And I think that's kind of something that's lost with our generation as a whole. I'm obviously a little more older than you guys, but I think as a whole, our generation does not work hard, in a sense of, like, you see guys 40, 50 doing construction every day and their bodies are just spent and they're out there at 4 a.m. before the sun even comes up, working till 4 p.m. With like a coffee break and that's it. But when I was in high school, my mom kind of was, she'd always kind of ask me, hey, do you want to go to the tech? Do you want to go to the tech? And I'd be like, no, I don't want to go to the tech. And I don't know if that was just because I don't know if I wanted to go on my own in high school yet, because all my buddies were going to Wilmington High. And I kind of just had been through all the Wilmington public schools as a kid. So I think I kind of just wanted to stick with that, maybe because it was the easy option. I don't know if I was ready to venture out. Austin Prep never really crossed my mind just because of how expensive it is. I was kind of fortunate enough for my parents, too. They're like, if you're going to spend some money on an education, save it for college, because I'm now paying my student loans off, and that's not a good time. But I would say if there was any consideration, it was the tech. They used to do, when I was in eighth grade, they used to go over to the tech every Tuesday, and you could try out a new shop through Wilmington Middle School.
They do? Yeah.
Which I think was good, because I got to see it firsthand, and I was able to decide yes or no, so I kind of wasn't going in blind, kind of like a tryout. And I thought it was fun. Some of my friends did it, but I think maybe as a group decision, me and my friends all decided to go to Wilmington High. Also, I think sports played a factor in that, too. The Tech has some high-level sports teams now, am I correct?
Yeah.
When I was there, they were not. So I think maybe kind of sticking and playing with my friends at Wilmington High kept me there.
Do you like this? How do you like the administration, teaching, everything?
At Wilmington? Hi. Oh, it was awesome. Just, like, I obviously had some teachers I liked, some teachers I didn't. I kind of struggled in school. I was more motivated to work. And, like, I'd work Dunkin' Donuts from, like, 3 to 10 every night if I didn't have baseball. All throughout college, I worked at a restaurant at nighttime. I had more ambition to do work rather than do homework, and I'm not saying that's the correct advice. I wouldn't give that advice to anybody. That's just how my brain worked. But I had some awesome teachers at Wilmington High. I mean, one of my favorite teachers, Miss Dunlap, she does the business program there. She runs DECA, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
I had her. I think I purposely tried to get myself in a class with her every single year. Because she was fantastic. She was like someone I'd go to just to hang out with. Me and my buddies would go there and during lunch just to have lunch in her room and hang out with her. She was great. And she's also great friends with my girlfriend. My girlfriend was very involved with DECA. And she was actually a state officer her senior year for Massachusetts DECA. So she was very close with Ms. Sunlap. They still talk a lot to this day, which is good. Some other good teachers I had. I'd say Maloney, Mr. Maloney. He teaches AP Gov, I think. He was great. Is Mr. Jones still there?
Mr. Jones.
History? Still there, yeah, he's the man. We'd go to him. This is kind of a random story, but we'd go to him during free period, and he would draw on the whiteboard. He would draw a regular square and then a filled-in square as a strike zone, right? And we'd take a tennis ball, and we'd stand at the front of the class, and we would throw as hard as we could and try and hit that square. And if you ever saw any marker get shaved off on that middle square, you knew the ball hit it, so you got 3 points. And we would, if you got it in the regular square, you got 1 point. So we would just sit in free period all day. It was me and like four of my friends. And Mr. Jones would play too. And we would just basically see who got many points throughout the free period. And that's kind of the stuff I remember most about high school. It's not like, oh, I got a 64 on this math quiz. Or I almost failed chemistry. I did, by the way. Okay. I recovered, but I didn't fail it. But it was close.
I also failed chemistry.
Who was your teacher?
I think it was either Mutchler or O'Brien.
Oh, yeah. I had Miss Yang. Is she still there?
I don't
Miss Yang?
Miss Yang? I don't believe so.
She taught, I had her for chemistry in 12th grade. Or no, I didn't take chemistry in 12th grade. I think it was 10th grade, yeah. Kind of going back to Jonesy, I'd say those are my top three favorite teachers. You probably go Maloney, Jones, and Miss Dunlap. Miss Dunlap's the number one.
Miss Dunlap's awesome.
Had her this year.
Yeah.
Miss Dunlap's the best.
She does great stuff, too. Like, we took a field trip to Gillette.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did that.
You guys did that, too, for sport management class?
I didn't go, but I didn't have that. I was in intro to business.
Oh, yeah. She's great. Just kind of like, if you have a teacher that really invests themselves into the students, I know it can be really hard with kids. Kids are crazy. Even coaching, like, the high school baseball team, you have a lot of different personalities. So you're a teacher in a sense. And I teach a 13-year-old, not teach, sorry. I coach a 13-year-old baseball team, too. So you're just kind of, like, in a sense as a teacher, you're kind of seeing a lot of different things. But I think if you invest in your students, they're going to invest back in you. And you could go to anybody in Wilmington, no one's going to have a bad word about Miss Dunlap because you can't. And I think everybody really liked her. And kind of, like I said, you're giving a large amount of your time to your students. And if you do a good job, you're going to get that respect back. And I think she was a great teacher.
I got to say, Miss Dunlap is also the best teacher I've ever had.
That too. I actually learned some stuff in her class, which is great.
Yeah. It wasn't as much of like a graded class either. You didn't have to worry about walking in there and taking a test and getting 50 assignments. It's like you walk in, you get like this assignment, but it's interactive. You're getting up, you're moving, you're doing all this different stuff, and at the end you have a business model. And you don't know how you did it.
Like I had no idea like SWOT analysis, Porter's five forces and all this stuff like that. And then when I got to college, like my junior and senior year, kind of going back to like my core classes of finance, I remember learning this stuff in high school with Ms. Dunlap. And I was fortunate enough to kind of go to college for business, which is what she teaches. And I'd say she's kind of the reason why I decided to do that, because I enjoyed her classes so much. So in a sense, she kind of molded where I kind of started my career, I guess. I didn't really think about that.
Was Mr. Carroll there when you were there?
Oh, yeah, another business teacher, right?
Yeah.
Walk in there, get 100, go home. Class is awesome. His final, I don't even know who's going to see this podcast, but his final 1 year did not have questions on it.
Explain that.
I had 100. Oh, actually, it didn't have answers. So, like, you had a question, like 100 questions, right?
Yeah.
I took a picture of it. I don't know if I can find it because the surface in here is tough. But I put answers down on a Word document. I just went like A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D. And then I put in like Mookie Betts. And then I went like A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, Tom Brady. And I got 100. And Mookie Betts and Tom Brady had nothing to do with these questions that were asked. So I think he was just giving out 100.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. Is he still there now?
Yeah.
He's the man.
He's a good guy.
He's the best bathroom monitor at Wilmington High School.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Ed Harrison's pretty good.
Oh, yep.
Yep.
Harry's a good guy.
He was the athletic director, I think, when my dad was in high school. He's been around Wilmington for a long time. And I think he was there. My dad graduated in the 80s. And I think Ed Harrison was there because he was there when I first started. I was the last grade in the old Wilmington High School. Very cool, by the way. Felt like an actual high school. I went there for the first 5 months, September to February, or however many months that is.
So yeah, you never went to this high school?
No, I went mostly for that one. My freshman year, we were in the old high school. And then after February vacation, we all moved into the new high school. So we got an extra day off of February vacation for all the teachers to get in and set up. And then freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, we all went in, and no one had any idea where they were going.
Wait, how long did that take to build, though?
I would say 3-4 years.
Really?
Yeah. So they were building it when I was in middle school, so like I knew I was going to be going into a new high school. I just didn't know exactly when. So then they put that up, February vacation of my freshman year.
Where was that? Where is the old high school?
Where the parking lot is, where the TPL is now. Kind of the tennis courts, the parking lot. It was facing... what's the street off to the right?
Tennis Adams. Courts?
Yeah, it was facing Adams Street, and then on the left side, where the new high school is now, is kind of where the old gym was. I don't know if you ever guys went to the old gym.
Was the baseball field still there?
No, but there was a different baseball field. Like blue cement walls. It was really weird.
I remember that.
Yeah. I never really played there because I wasn't on the big diamond yet. But I just kind of remember going to watch games there and stuff. But yeah, it, totally different than what it is now. A new high school, great facility. The facilities are beautiful. The gym's beautiful. The weight room's great. The facilities are very nice. It just doesn't really feel like a high school to me. High school, you see, like, in movies and stuff, like, there's banners everywhere. There's artwork. There's there's this, that. There's photos of the athletes and everything cool. This kind of just feels like every room looks the same. And that's okay. But I just feel like they could have made it a little more interesting layout, too. It's a big rectangle with a hole in the middle.
Yeah.
It is true. Yeah, that is true. I guess that thing is, like, so echoey. And you step outside and you're just talking to it.
Oh, the courtyard?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd eat lunch out there sometimes during the day. If it was nice out, it was good.
So you obviously played college baseball at Salem State. What was that like recruitment process like?
So for me, it was actually a little bit different. I was always a decent baseball player growing up, but kind of my best year of my career was my senior year, a little late recruiting-wise. And I also realized after college, seeing some kids on college baseball teams that I don't know really belong there. I don't mean that in a rude way. But like other teams, like I'm like, what's this kid doing playing college baseball? Like 5% of high school athletes go on to play college baseball. And I'm not saying this like in a bad way, like I said, but I'm just like, I don't know if you really belong on a college baseball field. It's more the temperament rather than the skill. I'm just kind of like willing to really want to play the game of baseball. I feel like everybody on my team was driven. We always had, I mean, we won a championship my sophomore year. We had great coaches, great guys. We always, I feel like, kind of went about things the right way. But there were some teams that we played, and I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe it's just kind of way the recruitment process worked for them. But for myself, like I mentioned, my best season was my senior year. So it was a little late, and I never really got recruited out of high school. So I went to Southern New Hampshire University my freshman year. And I wanted to try and play baseball there. I just wanted to keep sticking with it. And I kind of emailed the coach. I never heard anything back, which is, I understand they're a fantastic baseball team. They're usually sit around top 10 in Division II in the entire country, which is great. I'm not sure if I would have been able to play there. I did want to try out, though, but I never heard anything back. So I played club baseball there my freshman year, which was a blast. I met some cool guys. We had a good coach. And then I kind of was just, like, quite honest with you, I was just kind of, like, homesick. Like, I wanted to move back home, and Salem State was kind of the closest option for me. I thought about Merrimack, where you were, where you're going. I took a tour there. I liked it a lot. It's just, I kind of credit myself for making a decision in a sense, because Merrimack's expensive compared to Salem State, and I didn't have any scholarship or anything like that. So now that I'm kind of starting to pay off college, I guess I'm glad I picked Salem State. But I transferred there in late August, so like right before school started. In a sense, I wasn't registered for, I was actually registered for class at Southern New Hampshire in case I had to go back. Excuse me. But I transferred to Salem my sophomore year going into that, 2019. And I just kind of, I'll remember this day forever. I emailed the coach. I gave him a rundown of who I am. I'm like, hey, I can play third. I like to pitch. I kind of gave my pitch mix where I sit around, my stats from high school, my stats from travel ball. And he emailed me back. He goes, hey, Carl, give me a call tonight. I was like, all right, I'm going to give this guy a call tonight. I sent him this big, giant paragraph of who I am and stuff, and he just sent me that sort of message. I was like, all right, he's got some interest. And I worked at a restaurant in like a summer home community down in Westford. It was called Summer Village, I think. You know that place? There. You worked there?
Worked there.
Firewater. You
first
worked
job
there?
Ever.
Seriously?
Swear to God.
When?
Don and
Dana.
Yep, Don and Dana.
So my mom is best friends with Don.
Same.
Really?
It's pretty good.
So my mom probably knows your mom.
Probably.
That's awesome. So me and my girlfriend worked there. A small world, by the way. It was a blast. I worked in the kitchen.
So fun.
It was cool. I brought all my buddies to work there. I worked with my girlfriend, which was really fun. So I was there one night. I was absolutely slammed. I was doing fry cooking. And I feel my phone go off at like 8 o'clock. I go, I got to take this phone call. It's the Salem State baseball coach. And they're like, all right, no problem. So I stepped out to take this call, and it was Al Donovan.
Really?
Yeah. unbelievable coach. This guy, like, had your back no matter what. We won a championship with him my sophomore year. I was obviously we won, and I was super pumped for the guys, but I was super pumped for him to win a championship too. It's not easy to win a college conference championship, and being able to do that with him as our coach was great. And I kind of give all my credit to him taking a chance on me because I didn't have any recruitment offers or anything. I had no offers anywhere. I got one email throughout my entire high school career, and it was from the Mass Maritime baseball coach. And we ended up being in the same conference as them, which was very cool. I would have loved to have played there. It wasn't a style of school that suited me. It's more military-type school, naval, which is fantastic. They have a very high graduation rate and a very successful career rate. It just wasn't something I had an interest in. But then picking up that phone call from Donovan, we called him Dunny. He just kind of wanted to know what I was at. He was like, hey, if we can get you into Salem, tryouts are September 6th at this time, you know. And this was a big step in my life. I went in there. I knew nobody. I didn't know anybody that went to Salem State. Nobody from my grade went there. And if they did, I wasn't friends with them at the time. And I went in there all by myself. At that point in my life, I just was like, I got nothing to lose here. I'm going to go try out. Like I had mentioned, in high school, I played third. I did also pitch. But when I got to tryouts, I saw six kids at third base. I said, I'm just going to go in as a pitcher. I want to make this team. I want myself to keep playing college baseball. And they need pitchers, and they have enough third basemen. I thought in a stretch of a short period of time where I had to show off myself, I had a better shot at being a pitcher when I'm the only one on the mound rather than a guy at third who could not get a ball hit to him at tryouts and be like, oh, we never noticed anything from this kid. And I set myself up for success at tryouts. I pitched pretty well. We had some unbelievable baseball players, like great hitters. We had a kid named Trav Brianna who hit 528 at the college level at Salem State. I mean, guys don't hit over 300 ever. And he hit 523, something like that, the year before I was there, which was the highest batting average in the entire country. And I was able to – I think I struck him out at tryouts. So maybe that's what put me on the radar. And I was able to make the team, which was great. When he sent out an email, the guys were on the roster, I couldn't believe that I made it. I was able to make the team. Played 4 years there. I was very successful. Throughout my career, I had three coaches in 4 years, which is kind of strange.
Pat there yet when you got there or no?
So Pat was my pitching coach senior year.
Only senior year?
Senior year. Shout out Pat Greenan, Evo facility. We got the Evo shirt on here. Greenan's the man. He's one of my great friends this day now. We're always talking on the phone and stuff like that because we got some Wilmington High guys that go to the facility. But I was very fortunate to have some great coaches throughout my career. Jason Falcon was my coach for a year. Unbelievable guy. I tell all my friends this. I tell my dad this. I tell all my buddies. There's nobody that I've met that knows the game of baseball as well as him. And to be able to learn from a guy like that my junior year. And junior year was a big stepping point for me because I hadn't really played college baseball yet. I was on the team freshman year. The season got canceled because of that whole COVID thing. And then my sophomore year, I pitched 8 innings just kind of in garbage time. But junior year, Jason Falcon took over after Donovan had left. And he really trusted me, kind of putting me in big situations, which is something I had never been at the college level before. I'd go onto the field and I'd be like, oh my, I'm in a college game right now. But it was great. Salem State baseball is one of the best three things that's ever happened to me in my life, I will say.
So after Salem State, obviously graduating and everything, what made you the motivation for you to come back as a coach?
I think kind of just wanting to keep growing the game of baseball in Wilmington. Like, it's something that gave me so much, kind of just growing up, playing Little League at Rotary Park. I've met some unbelievable people. Like, I've had great coaches throughout my entire career. So I guess I kind of want to be that guy for younger kids now, like you yourself, coaching you, all the kids that are on the team. So I guess I think it's more just kind of wanting to keep growing that because there's so much opportunity out there for guys on Wilmington High to play college baseball because going back to the recruiting thing, it's all about what you put into it. I never reached out to coaches or anything like that. Obviously, if you're good, they'll find you. But there's some diamonds in the rough there where not many kids get noticed because they're in a small town like Wilmington and you can't really find stats accessible online. You have to go put that out there yourself. You have to make a Twitter account, tag all these guys, send out emails every day. I never did any of that. And now that I understand how it works, like senior year at Salem, they would ask me to maybe like go find some guys. Like we'd go watch high school baseball games, trying to just find some guys. And to be quite honest with you, guys at the Division III level, coaches do not have time for that because they work full-time jobs, head coaches, assistant coaches. And it's really hard to find kids to go play at your school. So if you're reaching out to them, this would be my piece of advice for kids junior and senior year of high school. If you're reaching out to college coaches, they're going to notice that because that's showing intent from you. And you're sending your stats, some video and stuff like that. Then they're going to come watch you play. Obviously, they're going to go watch some high school games, but anyone can go 0-for-3 in a day, you know? Mike Trout goes up. Mike Trout struck out with the bases loaded last night, down 2 to win, like, base hit ties the game. He struck out looking. Anybody can do that, you know? So it's more of a constant contact with coaches. So I guess I kind of want to keep growing that game of baseball, like I mentioned, and giving that advice to kids who want to play college baseball. And if you don't, that's okay, but just kind of like guiding kids throughout high school baseball and maybe getting to them to that next level if they want to be there.
Yeah. Why do you think our team is 5-1 right now? Like, what have we succeeded at? What have we had our downs at? And why do you think we're in the position we are right now?
Be quite honest with you, like, I think we just have like a, like, if any of my friends see this, they'll joke about it because we used to use this word as a joke last year, but like, we honestly have a lot of grit. Thank you. We just find ways to win baseball games. Like, we beat Winchester 1-0 on a hell of a performance from Aiden Balter. We beat Lexington 6-4. Those are two good teams. Those are big school teams. Those are huge wins. And you just kind of have, like, we're playing Stoneham. I think that kid Matt Lottie was pitching, right?
Yeah.
He was dealing against us. We were down 2-1 in the seventh inning. You know, we just kind of found a way to win that game. We put the ball in play. You put pressure on defenses. They're going to make errors at this level. I mean, on pretty bad conditioned fields and kids who are not college-level players in a sense of making routine plays all the time, that's why I try and tell the guys, put the ball in play. Make the pressure. Put the pressure on the defense. They're going to mess up. Putting the ball in play is better than striking out. Obviously, everybody knows that. But going back to kind of why we're 5-1, we've had some unbelievable pitching. I mean, you got Harper, you got Balter. Banks has been dealing. He had one tough start, but that's okay. That's going to happen from anybody. Noah Spencer, all of a sudden closer for Wilmington High. He's been shutting the door. Shut the door against Watertown. Shut the door against Lexington. So I think we're just kind of finding ways to win. I think our one loss against Melrose really wasn't who we were. We had I don't even want to know how many walks we had in that game, but our pitching staff normally limits the walks. And I talked to McManus about this. I think the most underrated thing about our team is our defense. Our defense is phenomenal. Watching other teams play defense, I think we have one of the best, especially up the middle, Spinney and Mikey Dyden, phenomenal. So I think I just say it's a combination of things, but if you really want to boil it down, it's kind of just finding ways to win and our defense. And they say defense wins championships. So I truly believe that in our pitching.
Yeah, I definitely think you guys are set up for success. Just I went to the Winchester game, mm-hmm. and you guys clicked. Something looked like it was clicking with you guys. Especially like off from the defensive side of the ball. Balter pitching, it looked good. I'm pretty sure Spence came in to close that game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, Spence looked good. Like everyone just looked good. It looked like it was a good game. I know, like, and I think it was the bottom of the seventh or whatever. There was some people on base for Winchester, and you guys just closed it out like there was nobody on base. You guys closed it out like there was two strikes, two outs.
I think they had a guy on third with two outs.
Yeah.
They got on third, and they hit it to the outfield, and Lovell
had a good catch there, yeah.
Yes, yeah. You know, an underrated player, Connor Lovell, I think he's hitting, like, almost 500 or something, which is unbelievable.
630 or something.
He's hitting 630?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
He is a phenomenal athlete.
He's a freak athlete. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a kid run so fast and throw the ball so hard, but anytime he hits the ball, it's getting through the infield automatically just because of how strong he is and he can really make anything turn into a double with how quick he is, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He joined football, like, he played last year, but he had a few injuries. I don't think he wanted to deal with it. He wanted to save himself for basketball. And this year, like 3 weeks into the season, we're playing flag football in gym class. All of a sudden, I see him texting somebody, and I hear Mike Lawler go, "He's going to come play football." That day, he's at practice, and he's already getting first-team reps.
Wow. He's just an athlete. You know, I feel like he can – like, if we were going to war, I'd probably call him first, like, from the baseball team. Just, like, I feel like he can kind of pick someone up and run them over, you know?
Yeah.
And that's probably why he was a good football player.
If you're going to need someone to pick someone up and run someone over, Noah Spencer.
Oh, yeah. I'll take Spence any day. He's an animal.
I don't know if you've ever seen him play football.
I haven't watched anyone with high football in a long time.
He doesn't drop the ball.
No?
There was
what position does he play?
Tight end, wing, and like linebacker edge.
Yep.
There was a play freshman year, I'll never forget, against Melrose. The quarterback rolled out and like threw it like over the shoulder to him. Our quarterback wasn't very good. He wasn't a quarterback.
Yep.
Threw it to him. Spence is sitting there just waiting for the ball to land. He jumps, gets killed from under him, like he's falling. You see him reach back, grab the ball, tuck it while he's falling, just get up and give the ball to the ref.
That's awesome.
And it was like nothing happened.
He's a beast.
He's if we had him this year.
Yeah.
If we had him this year.
That's why I think like the closer role is good for him, because you kind of have to have that like dog mentality. Like,
yeah.
Like there's no one better than me and I'm gonna win this baseball game. Like sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, talking about Spence, what do you think about the Burlington game?
Oh, that was great. Like, in the eighth inning, they changed their pitcher, so I went up to him in the batter's box, well, outside the batter's box, and I said, "Spence, tell yourself you're going to get a hit and you're going to win this baseball game." It was 8-8 at the time. I think we had a guy on second. Yeah. Leadoff guy got on, Walsh, he bunted him over, so we had a guy on second with one out. So I'm just sitting there. We had a guy come in, Ken Herring, former UMass Lowell coach, good friend of Matt McManus, tell us the step one to being a good baseball hitter is have confidence. So I try to instill that in Spencer. I said, tell yourself you're going to get a hit and you're going to win the baseball game. It's not cocky to believe in yourself. It may be cocky to go tell everybody on the bench, I'm going to get a hit and I'm going to win this game, you know? But think about it yourself. He did get out that at bat, which is fine. Fail 7 times out of 10, you're a Hall of Famer. He was able to come up in the bottom of the ninth. Guy on first, Connor Lovell, who runs like the wind, was it two outs?
Yeah.
Two outs, guy on first, bottom nine. I didn't say anything to him because I was at first base coach, but I made sure for him to remember, you're going to get a hit, you're going to win the baseball game. He hits a wall ball double. We were fortunate there was two outs because Lovell's able to get a head start. If there's one out, Lovell obviously has to go halfway. He probably doesn't score from first base. But with two out running, you put your head down and you're moving. Spence hitting that wall ball double to win the baseball game, that was one of the best high school games I've ever seen. It kind of reminded me, obviously we lost when I was in high school, but the Burlington game against us going to extra innings, we just kind of have something with Burlington where it's kind of like the Bruins and the Leafs. You're just competing to the last minute, and we were able to pull the game out, and it was an awesome baseball game.
Yeah, it was.
Seeing the game changer clip, I think it was on Instagram, of Lovell running. Just freak speed.
Oh, he was moving. He might have been the only guy who could have scored from first base there.
I would have taken Spinney. I would have taken Spinney
too.
From first.
Yeah. But like being able to score first to home with two outs on a ball that gets in, it wasn't even close. I'm not even sure if the ball was even out of the cutoff man's hands before Lovell was at home. And then all the boys were celebrating at second base. It was awesome. Like when you can see the team celebrate like that. Like I said, going back to kind of just finding ways to win, we were down 4-0 in that game before even recording an out. Harper's finger was kind of banged up, and he was tough enough to get through three innings, which is great. And we just kind of like most teams mail it in. You're down 4-0 at 10 a.m. on a Friday. You kind of just pack it up, say see you next week, but we're not like that. We're not like that. And I kind of think that's the team mentality from the guys, and that's something you can't really teach as a coach. It just kind of has to be something that the guys buy into.
I knew from when I played freshman year that like I knew I wasn't going to play all 4 years, but I knew like the group of guys on that team like senior year. I said it. I was like, you guys are going to be really good.
Yeah, and that's something that like that's great to see. Where it's just like I said, you just can't teach it. It's just something that is kind of instilled in the guys, even like starting in Little League. Like these towns that have great baseball programs, it starts when you're 9, 10 years old from how it's run, how often you play, and everything like that. So it's just kind of something that it's brought up through being a kid. You know, it's cool.
Yeah. So would you say there's like a benefit to playing at Wilmington High School, like with your friends, with coaches you've like grown up with and stuff like that, like everyone you know being there compared to going to like Shawshene Tech or Austin Prep and just being in a whole new environment where you don't?
I definitely think so. It's kind of like if you think about like Charlie Coyle for the Bruins, like he's from Boston. Like, you know how cool it is for him to play for the Bruins? Yeah. Like, it's got to be – like, he grew up watching the Bruins his entire life.
Yeah.
Like, you're growing up in the town. Like, everyone knows you on the baseball team. Like, it's kind of how – like I said, Charlie Coyle. Like, playing for the Bruins. Like, there's no other team he'd want to play for, you know? It's like, if you grow up in the Bronx and you want to play for the Yankees. You don't want to go play for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe there's kind of that rivalry now with the Tech, between Wilmington and the Tech. You want to play for the town you grow up in, and it's really cool. Like, I think that's the main benefit, is kind of wearing the town on your chest where you went to school, whether it says Wilmington or whether it says Wildcats. I think most of our jerseys say Wildcats. I think the camo ones say Wilmington. Is that right? Or they all say Wildcats?
I think they all say Wildcats.
I honestly don't know. But I think the biggest advantage to playing at Wilmington is playing with all your friends. You're playing for your teachers. You're playing for your town. You're playing for the coaches. You're playing for your girlfriends, your boyfriend, like whoever, it doesn't matter. Like, all those people are in the stands. They're from Wilmington, too. They're rooting on Wilmington. Granted, all these private schools are great. Tech's great. They do their own thing. But I think just kind of playing for the town you grow up in has a little different energy behind it. And it just kind of gives you that little more drive to succeed. And you're playing for your school, too, you know?
Yeah.
There's definitely a different feel to it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I was going to go to the Tech. Like, I had everything. And then one of my buddies was like, you're really going to play football not for Wilmington? You're really going to not play baseball for Wilmington? I was like, I never thought about it like that.
Yeah. And that, like, as a kid, too, like, my dad would take me to some high school baseball games. He didn't take me to Tech high school baseball games. Why would we go there? You know?
Yeah.
I grew up watching Wilmington high school baseball. Like, I wanted to be on that. I wanted to be that guy. Like, I thought it was great. We played our Burlington game. I think it was school vacation week.
Yeah.
The Little League Red Sox came down there. All the 10-year-olds were watching. I think that's awesome because that was me, and that was probably you guys watching the big kids play. Like, I want to be like the big kids, you know? Like, that's how it goes when you're a kid.
Walking in the parade, seeing the high schoolers and stuff like that.
It's awesome. So, like, that's what you want to be when you're a kid. And when you're playing for your town, like I said, it's just a little bit different, you know?
Yeah. How do you think we succeed for the rest of the season after – first half of the season?
I think we're going to be good because winning's contagious. Losing is contagious as well. I was on a baseball team last year where we went down to Myrtle Beach at the beginning of the season. We got mopped. Like, we played ranked teams left and right. We played the number one team in the country, the team who won the national championship the year before, Eastern Connecticut. I think we lost like 17-7, and then we had to take a 15-hour bus ride home. You know how miserable that is to get smoked by the number one team in the country and then sit on a bus for 15 hours from Myrtle Beach back to Boston? It's a lot more fun if you win.
You got your pissed coach, your pissed teammates. Everyone on the bus is pissed.
Exactly.
Music, just dead silent.
And there's no way to escape it because you have to get home.
Yeah.
Granted, the bus rides are fun and everything. But
when you win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The way there is a blast because you don't know what's going to happen. You think you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of like going back to what I said with the contagious thing, you guys have a hell of a lot of confidence right now, and I don't see why not. You know, you're 5-1. That's like if you have a team that's 1-10, like kids are showing up to the park, Mike, there's no way we win today, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that firsthand. Even like when we played in the championship against Fitchburg State, we knew we were the better team. Like we walked into the park and we were like, it was a best 2 out of 3 series, and it was all at Fitchburg because they were the number one seed. And we played a doubleheader the first day. So we were like, if we split, we have to come back. We showed up. We didn't say a word to each other. We just knew we were not coming back tomorrow. And we went home with a trophy. And it's just kind of like that sense of like having the confidence, the correct confidence, not kind of shoving it down the other team's throat, but being proper with how you present yourself. And being a 5-1 baseball team is a great spot to be in. You're not going to win every day in baseball. Like I mentioned, it's not football where the Chiefs are playing the Patriots or anything like that, where Mahomes is going to dog walk you and you're going to lose by 30. Baseball, anything can happen. Anybody can go like a Division III baseball team beat Dartmouth. Pomona Pitzer, their team from California, they beat Dartmouth earlier this year, Division I Ivy League school. Any guy can show up and throw 7 good innings, you know? which I think is the best part about baseball. So kind of going back to the whole confidence thing, starting 5-1 is exactly where you want to start. Going future-wise, we have a tough stretch here. Woburn, I've heard, can hit the hell out of the baseball. Belmont is a historically good program. When I played there, they had a pitcher that went to Penn State, a catcher that went to Yale. So Belmont's, and they're a big city too, so they have a lot of kids. They have a beautiful field. They're always a high-level baseball team. They're coached very well. Same with Woburn. They're highly coached, and they play the game the right way. So I think it's going to be a tough stretch here. I think we play Arlington that next week after a rainout game, right?
Yeah, we do on the 29th.
And then we play Stoneham again after that?
We have a back-to-back game.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday. I think it's Arlington-Stoneham. Is that right?
Stoneham's on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. Who we play on Tuesday?
I think maybe Reading.
That's right, Reading. No, another phenomenal baseball team.
They lost last night.
They lost to Woburn 2-1 yesterday.
That's really good.
I mean, you got two teams that had 5-6 wins right there. You expect that to be a close, low-scoring game. Good pitching, good battle. So I think we have a tough stretch, but I don't see any reason why we can't succeed in that stretch. I mean, we're a good baseball team, so I like our chances. I'll take us any day.
Is there anything else you wanted to say about like playing at Wilmington High School, what it's meant to you, or anything like that, just to kind of reiterate it to the audience?
Yeah, of course. I think the best part about playing for your town is like you grew up with those kids. Like you played Little League with these kids. And then my senior year, like I said, my grade was highly talented. We had our entire starting lineup, besides our catcher, who was a junior, was all seniors. All kids that I grew up with my entire life. It was myself at third. Greco would pitch, or DH, because he had a hurt arm, which was tough. Dan Gracia at short. Greco would play short or third. We would just rotate between who was pitching. Ben Maynard or Riley Zaya at second. I grew up with those kids. Jared Acoin at first. Grew up with them. Had Tom Warbin left my grade. Graham Smith my grade. Matt Rideout my grade. Like, it was just great playing with those kids throughout my whole life. Going through high school, graduating high school together. It's not something I would say I took for granted because I really enjoyed it, but it's something I wish I could go back to every day. And obviously, meeting new friends is great too, but I enjoyed meeting my new friends in college rather than high school, because I think college is the time to go your separate ways with your friends. You're paying a lot of money for it to go to college nowadays, so I think that's the time to kind of split. I think staying throughout your public school system is great. And just kind of like I mentioned, it's just like I see Greco a lot now. We're both coaching Wilmington High School. He has the JV2 team, and every single day we talk about our team, junior year, senior year. We just talk about random games, even with Jim Boyle, Jimbo. His son Jack was on the team, and we just talk about because he would commentate our games for WCTV when we were there. Yeah, so he knew firsthand experience kind of like everything that happened in our games because he was watching. It's just kind of like, I don't know, it's just something we talk about to this day, and that sometimes I forget about. Like when I was at college, I wasn't thinking about Wilmington High School baseball all that often, but now that I'm back home, I think about it all the time, and it's just something that it gave so much to me, so I'm really fortunate to be able to play there.
All right, I think that is all we have for today. So thank you again for coming on.
Thank you, Carl.
Thanks for having me. I had a blast.
Of course.
So that was On the Mat. I'm Braden. He's Jacob. Again, thank you to Carl, and we will see you guys with the next episode.
Thank you.